Our Sunday school lesson was in Psalm 116. We didn't get there, but just a verse, word or so. Brother Gallagher took us over to Isaiah 38, and where Hezekiah was given. I think, Brother Gallagher, would you care to come and just give part of that introduction, why they believe he wrote 116, and just the first things you said this morning about Hezekiah. Just what are you want to do on that? He gave us some background, really, to Psalms 116, and would you do that again? Caught you off guard.
You did. Isaiah chapter 38. This morning in Sunday school, I mentioned at the beginning that I guess I said it was ironic that our Sunday school lesson was actually about a man that found out, he was a sick man, but he found out from the prophet of God that he wasn't going to live. The death was on its way. There was no hope, no cure. And that Psalms 116 was our lesson, our chapter in the book of Psalms for our lesson this morning, but it ties in with Isaiah chapter 38 because most Bible scholars believe that Psalms 116 was written by Hezekiah. And there's many reasons why everybody comes to the conclusion that he is the author of Psalms 116. So I go back in Isaiah to find out what prompted him to actually write Psalms 116. And what prompted him to write that psalm is because Hezekiah is told in Isaiah chapter 38 in verse number 1, you're going to die. In our lesson this morning, and I used a lot of personal illustrations of what it's like to be told, you're not going to live. And I used a testimony a little bit of my mom was in that point in life. She found out that she had pancreatic cancer. And I know what it's like to go with a mom to a doctor. And the doctor tell you got 6 weeks most. It wasn't me that was told that. It was my mom. But how do you live? How does Hezekiah make it? I mean, how do you go? How do you get up in the morning and live the day when you know it's just a matter of days before life's over with? And I don't know if I can really mentally comprehend what it is like to be told that you have cancer. Out of all the cancers you can have, you have the worst. There's no hope. There's no cure. I can still remember my mom's face. She bowed her head. She said, "We'll make it." And as we leave, the doctor stops my dad and says, "Can I speak with you for a second?" He said, "Sure." And the doctor told my dad, "It's not going to be good. It's going to get very, very ugly." And Hezekiah is told here, look at verse number 1. "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death." Whatever the sickness was, it was no cure. There's no hope. Sick unto death means the sickness is going to overtake your body. In verse number 1, it goes on to say, "In Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die." That's kind of bad news for a man that's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Going to die. Because the Lord says you're going to die. Nobody this morning wants to face death. We all know that we're in a process of dying, and we know that it's coming unless the Lord returns first. But I mentioned to our Sunday school class, we all know that, we acknowledge that, but it goes in one ear and right out the other. But boy, when you're the one that it's told, and as we find here in our lesson, or in our chapter 38 here, that he is told pinpoint, you are going to die. We find in verse number 2, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. I think everybody in this room would agree that if you were told by a doctor you're going to die, the first thing you're going to do is pray like you've never prayed before. Nobody wants to die. And he prayed. Verse number 3 gives you a little insight into his prayer. He said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and walked, and with a perfect heart have I done, have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He's bawling his eyes out. He's emotional. He's consumed with the thought of dying. And as he tries his best to pray unto God and tries to somehow word a prayer to God, yet he's facing all the emotions, weeping sore, the Bible says. Verse number 4, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. And by the way, not only does God hear our prayers, but he also sees the tears of the weeping. You see, tears this morning are a result of an emotional state in a being that you cannot stop. There's nothing wrong with shedding tears. Tears are a result of an emotional state that it's very obvious that you are touched deeply. Some people would even claim that tears is a sign of weakness. Dear friend, tears are not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of a burdened and tender heart. So we find a man that is told one day, you're not going to live, you're going to die. I don't know exactly how much time lapses. I don't know if it takes place in the very same day, but he turns his face to the wall, I believe, which describes that he was doing his very best to get away from everybody, and he got by himself, and he poured his heart out unto God, begging God to heal him, to spare his life, weeping and trying somehow to get a prayer out to God. We find in this chapter God hears his prayer, and God's response is that not only does he hear his prayer, but he also sees the tears. He mentions in verse number 5, God's response is, behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Hezekiah is 39 years of age when this takes place. He lives for 15 years, and it comes to pass, and you can study the life of Hezekiah. But I mentioned in our class this morning that death of a loved one will touch you like nothing else in life. And I can't help but think this morning, even Brother Finley's wife. Can you imagine the hurt and pain she's enduring today? Brother Richardson mentioned a statement that she was fussing to want to go home, and now she doesn't want to go home. She needs our prayers. Amen. And I don't know what we can do as a church, but
if there's anything we can do for her, I think we need to do it.
Amen.
I struggled this morning in our lesson, and I do apologize to, and I have apologized to some of you this morning because I don't feel like I ended on a good note. And I just shared a little bit of my own testimony of a little bit of how I was in a position once where my mom found out she had cancer. The doctor said she had 6 weeks to live. And I know what it's like to beg God every single day to heal my mom. God doesn't always choose to heal everybody. And God chose not to heal my mom. And I shared a little bit of the emotional state that maybe I was in when God chose not to heal my mom. First question is why? I know God can do it. God can do anything He wants to. I gave a little bit of a testimony this morning also of how the devil will always step in and take advantage of any situation he possibly can. And even in a low state like that, the devil will whisper in your ears, God doesn't really love you. God won't even answer your prayers. I know what it's like to wonder, is it me? Is my prayer life so shallow that God doesn't answer my prayers? Is it something that I've done? I even had our Sunday school raise hands this morning of anybody in our church that's lost a mom or a dad. Everybody in our class except two raised their hands. Brother Yandel, your parents are still living, both of them. Brother Jones and Brother Jones, your mom and dad are still living. They're here this morning. They're the only two. You are truly, truly very, very blessed. And I thank God for that this morning. Both of you have good, godly parents. And but God doesn't always choose to heal people. Brother Finley's death is a little different. I jokingly told our class this morning, if I know I'm going to die in 6 weeks, I don't want a doctor to tell me. Because I don't know how to live from day to day knowing. But then isn't it so ironic this morning that actually we are. We're dying. All of us.
That's true.
Could be us next week, this week. Could be you. Could be me. Could be somebody young, could be somebody older. But death touches all. And it'll turn your life completely around like nothing else in life will. Brother Richardson's lost a mom and a dad. There may be one or two in our room this morning that's lost a husband or a wife. Is there anybody in our room this morning that's lost a husband or a wife? Raise your hand. Anybody like that? Nobody. But there will come a day when Brother Richardson comes to this pulpit because somebody in our church has lost a wife or lost a husband. Sometimes it's a mom and a dad that's lost a child.
And I apologize because in my class this morning, I was trying to be honest a little bit of some of the struggles that I went through. I'm not saying they're right. Brother Greg, you came to me after class and said, I appreciate that because I felt the very same way and I felt bad. I felt like I was wrong. And I told Brother Greg, I'm not saying it's right. Brother Greg said, I guess it's the right thing to say. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but it's just natural. And I promise you, Miss Finley this morning is probably thinking, what am I going to do? How's she going to make it in life? What's she going to do from day to day? She depended on him. And I don't have the answer as far as I can pray for. I can try to help her financially. I can try to help her physically to a point. I don't know what needs to be done and what can be done. Brother Richardson will maybe decide if there's anything that we as a church can do. But I did end our Sunday school class with just the thought, you better know where you're going. Because there's going to come a day when somebody will stand in a pulpit, either here or in a funeral home, and have to preach your funeral. I used to tell our congregation, you live your life in such a way this week that if I have to preach your funeral next week, I don't have to lie to everybody. And you better know where you're going. And it's a rejoicing time this morning to realize that Brother Finley, because he was a born-again believer, we all know that he's in a much better place. Amen. And I promise you this morning, if he had an opportunity to come back this morning, he would choose not to. That's why it's important this morning that we know that our wives and our husbands, our children, our family, we better witness to them. If you've got a lost loved one or a family member or a neighbor or a friend or whoever it may be that's lost this morning, don't you dare give up on them. Because death comes to all. Psalms 116, and I'm going to be done right here, Brother Richardson, I apologize, but was written by a man who was told, he was very sick unto death. The doctors had probably already told him, you're sick, man, there's nothing we can do for you. There's no cure for your problem, and if something doesn't drastically change or miracle happen, you're going to die. And he knew something was real, real bad wrong. And on top of all that, the man of God comes unto him and says, God spoke to me and God told me to give you this message. God says, you're going to die. Psalms 116 is a result or is penned after he has received the message back that God heard his prayer and God has seen his tears. And God says, I'm going to give you 15 years on your life. And Psalms 116 is a chapter written by Hezekiah after he hears the words that God grants him 15 more years. It's a wonderful chapter, and I challenge you to read it, but that's it.
Thank you. Somebody says, this is not a normal church service. This is church. This is what it ought to be. As Brother Gallagher just said in Isaiah 38, the last thing in verse number 5, God says, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Can you imagine how he felt? You're going to die. You're not going to live. The man of God says, thus saith the Lord. Sometime later, he comes back and said, God's heard you. God's seen your tears. Now you're going to live 15 more years. Let's read Psalms 116. With that in mind, We'll read a few verses here. He has just probably maybe received the notice from the man of God. Once again, thus saith the Lord, 15 years will be added unto your life. And he pens these words. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and supplications or prayers. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him. What does he say here? As long as I live. He knows how long it's going to be. 15 years. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. I think we can identify with that when we get the news of our loved ones, or even us getting the news, you're going to die. All of a sudden, as Brother Gallagher just said again, the devil sees every opening to say, God doesn't care. What good is it to be a Christian now? The sorrows of death came on him. The pains of hell got hold of him. Verse 4. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. You better say amen right there. He preserves the simple, those of us that are in need. I was brought low, and he helped me. How much lower could you get if somebody says, you're not going to live? And it's not just their opinion, it's thus saith the Lord. I was brought low. Verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, and mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. No longer is his thoughts on dying now, his thoughts are on living. I'm going to walk in the land of the living. I'm going to live. I mean, he's got the worst news that a person could ever get. You're dying. You're going to die. And then he's got probably the best news that you'd want to hear. You're going to live. Can you imagine the roller coaster of his emotions? The ups and the downs. You're going to die. Well, we're all going to die. Yes, but you're going to die right here. Dr. B.R. Lakin said, he told me everybody's going to die. He said, if I know the place, if God tell me the place I'm going to die, he said, I'm just not going to go there. Well, we're going to die. And here Hezekiah has gotten the devastating news. Death is on your door. By the way, this morning, death is on all of our doors. I mean, it's... Brother Fender, last Sunday after church, he was leaning up against the out there by the there by the wall, and somebody said he got really weak, and they said, you need to sit down. Death was on his door. I think he probably knew it was pretty close. But we live our life and we do our things and we go our way and we say, I'm young. Death is no respecter of persons. Death is no respecter of age. How many times we see young people that leave this world? We think death is for old folks. No, death is for folks. So Hezekiah, he's gotten the news, and now God's blessed him with 15 more years. And the very first words here, he says, I love the Lord because. In these next few verses that I just read, he tells us why he loves the Lord. You know, by the way, I've got that underlined, and I stopped my underline at the word because. And every one of us this morning could have that as a testimony. And after the word because, just put what you feel, what you have in your life. I love the Lord because. And just fill in the blank. For some of us, a lot of us, it'd be some of the same things, but we have different things also why we love the Lord. Well, Hezekiah could say, I love the Lord because of life. I'm going to be in the land of the living. He tells us in these first four verses, as Brother Gallagher was teaching this morning, and my goodness, my heart was overflowing, and the Spirit of God was moving, and I looked at some notes that I had here and had never looked at them other than just when I wrote them down. And I noticed here verses 1 through 4, Hezekiah says, I love the Lord because He hears me. Aren't you glad this morning God hears us? He's not some far away, distant individual that doesn't listen to me. God hears my voice. The Scripture says, God said, I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. God hears our voice. And Hezekiah said, I love the Lord because He hears me. This morning, if we was to take testimony, a lot of us could say, I love the Lord because He heard my cry one day of a special need that I had. Nobody else knew about it, just me and God. I cried unto the Lord. And guess what? He heard me. I love Him because of that. You know, it's great to have friends. It's good to have folks that you can confide in and people you can talk to, and because you know they're hearing you and they're feeling your hurt and they're so entwined in your emotions that they know exactly how you feel. And thank God for friends like that. By the way, there's very few like that. There's a lot of acquaintances, very few friends. And so Hezekiah says, well, I love the Lord because He hears me. He didn't say that in a bragging, boastful way. He just knew God had heard his cry. What do you think Hezekiah, there in Isaiah, what was it, 38? In Isaiah 38, what do you think Isaiah did when he turned to the wall and he prayed? You think he had very much pride there? Now his pride is all gone. He's crying out to God for help. He's crying out to God, and all of a sudden the man of God comes to him. That man that had, probably Isaiah, that man that had come to him and said, you're going to die? And he sees him coming down the road again, and he says, I wonder what kind of message you got for me today. Can't be any worse. And the man of God comes in and said, the Lord's heard you cry. He's heard your prayer, heard your supplication, and you're going to live. Well, Hezekiah gets down his scribe and his parchment, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, I love the Lord because. You fill in the blank this morning. Number one thing is that we love the Lord because He first loved us. We understand that. But there's a lot of incidences in life that we can say, I love the Lord because, and this is whatever it is. So, Psalm 116, I love the Lord because. Verse number 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low when He, what's the next word? He helps me. Not only does He hear us, but thank God He helps us. It's one thing to have a friend that will listen. It's another thing to have a friend that will listen and do. and respond and go the second mile. Go beyond the call of duty. A lot of folks will listen to our cry. A lot of folks will listen to the emotions of our soul and of our heart, and they'll say, well, I'll be praying for you. And all good and well, they mean that, and that's the way it should be. But there are some folks that you deal with, and they say, I'm going to pray for you, and then a little bit later you find out they've done something for you uncalled for and unasked for, and they're just helping. And then you will say, they must love me. They must care about me. And then you will say, if I ever can help them, I'll surely do the same thing because I love them also. That's the relationship of the Lord and His children. He loves us. And so I love the Lord because He hears my cry. I love the Lord because He helps me. How many situations God has helped us in, individually, as a person? How many circumstances has come our way and we just have to have help? And seemingly out of nowhere, out of the blue, the expression is, help arrives. It's on there. And the Lord has heard us. Now the Lord has helped us. He has given deliverance. He has helped us in the need that we have. Verse number 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, and mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Hezekiah was on the way down. I mean, you get the message. The doctor says, 3 months. My dad was diagnosed with cancer right after Thanksgiving. Had first surgery December the 8th, I believe it was. And that was on his lung. And then a couple months later had brain surgery. The radiation, the chemo. We went to the oncologist there in Paducah, and my dad felt fine, he felt good, but he had the death sentence on him. And he went in and had that first chemo treatment and come out to the car, and I didn't know what to expect. When he walked out of the car, he walked well and he felt good and seemed okay. The cancer in the brain had taken half of his vision. And cancer in his lung had taken his lung. But for his condition, he was okay. He comes back to the car. We start the car. My mind will transport me back. The car, the building, the parking lot. He sits down in the front seat. My mom's in the back. I said, Dad, how you feel? He said, well, I feel different. And before we got out of the parking lot, and I know this is not a professional way of saying things, he was vomiting so bad. He got so sick. And so the radiations and the things that took place, I finally got tired of just saying, we took care of it. I said, I'm tired of hearing that. And I never could catch the doctor, so I went to the doctor's office. And the receptionist, she said, "Do you have an appointment?" I said, "No, I don't. I'm not sick. But I'm going to see the doctor today." "Well, you have to have an appointment." I said, "Before I leave here today, I'm going to see the doctor." And I explained to her. And about 15 minutes later, the doctor that I did not have an appointment with, he called me back to his office. And I told him, I said, "The only one reason I'm here, and I want to know the truth." And I don't know if I upset him or what, or if he just gave me what I wanted. No expression, no emotion. He said, "Your dad's going to live less than 3 months." I said, "That's what I want to know. I'm tired of hearing we took care of it." And 4 months later, my dad passed away on July the 7th, 68 years old. I'm 5 years away from his life. And so, you get the message, but God can help you. This morning the message goes around the world. Jesus saves. And people hear it, but they do not respond to it. But you know what? He can help you. He hears me. He helps me. In verse 8, as we just read, "He keeps my feet from falling. He holds me." How many times we stumble and fall, God's there to pick us up. He's there to keep us from killing ourselves. Falling is terrible. You lose control. You have no control. We've all fallen. Some worse than others. Some people fall and never get over it. Sharon's sister fell in the parking lot there in Louisville, and she's not going to get over that. He's not going to get better. And so we fall. And old Hezekiah, he said, "Well, the Lord heard my cry. He helped me. And He's held me up. Kept me from falling." Spiritually this morning, the Lord keeps all of us from falling and literally stumbling into the terrible brink of hell, because He hears our cry. Brother Finley's in a better place this morning, far better than we. And I know I've been emotional. I know everybody's been emotional, but that's okay. God made us emotional people. Some people show it differently. I've seen people have emotions that they never cry a tear, and then I've seen people emotional that can't talk. I'm one of those that can't hardly talk. I've seen people emotional, they'll laugh. How God made us. We're different. But God does the same thing for all of us. He hears us. He helps us. He holds us. And by the way, sometimes, and like in Hezekiah's case, He heals us. But we're still going to die. You can read the life of Hezekiah. He died. God gave him extra time, but he died. How much time do we have? How much time do you have? How much time do I have? I don't know. So I better use what I have for the glory of the Lord. I better make sure that when I die, things are okay. Boy, I've heard people say strange things about, "I know I'm going to heaven because." I don't want to put my eternity on some becauses that are very, very shaky. I declare to you this morning, and you that are saved can declare back to me, "I'm going to heaven because one day Jesus Christ saved my soul." Amen. That's how I know. For the Bible tells me so. Let's stand together this morning.